I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. The big news this week has been the Mueller investigation announcing the indictments of Paul Manafort and Rick Gates and George Papadopoulos' guilty plea of lying to the FBI. They had all worked with the Trump presidential campaign. Mueller is investigating whether the campaign had colluded with Russia. If you watch Fox News this week, this is what you would have heard, starting with President Trump.
Well, I think the uranium sale to Russia and the way it was done, so underhanded, with tremendous amounts of money being passed, I actually think that's Watergate modern age.
If this had happened in the 1950s, there would be people up on treason charges right now. The Rosenbergs, okay? This is equivalent to what the Rosenbergs did, and those people got the chair.
Tonight, explosive new evidence in what is becoming the biggest scandal, or at least one of them, in American history.
How is this not a scandal of a much grander magnitude? This is a huge deal that threatens our national security, but nobody seems to care because it's Obama and Clinton.
And when people think Russia, they should at least be thinking Uranium One.
Conservative media has been focused on the 2010 uranium deal and Hillary Clinton claiming the real crime is her campaign's collusion with Russia. We asked Colin Borchers to join us on Radio Times. He covers media, the conservative media, for The Washington Post, and he joins us from the studios of The Washington Post. And Colin Borchers, nice to have you with us on Radio Times.
Good morning.
Good morning. And to our listeners, lines open at 1-888-477-9499. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. What we just heard, is that a flavor of Fox News in the first couple of days of this week?
Yeah, that's a pretty representative sample of what you're hearing from Trump's allies in the media, which is to say that the real Russia story of the week actually has nothing to do with Robert Mueller's investigation, except to the extent that it means he's investigating the wrong thing. Why is he not focusing on this uranium deal from 2010? And the notion, as Sean Hannity put it, that Hillary Clinton sold out our national security.
Well, and we heard Sebastian Gorka, not known for his modesty, shall we say, talking about the Rosenbergs, making some kind of parallel to the execution of the Rosenbergs and Hillary Clinton.
Right. And of course, the Rosenbergs were convicted of taking plans for a nuclear weapon and giving them to the Russians, which was, of course, a very serious violation of national security. What we're looking at here is really not comparable. So to just review some of the basics of what we have here, the 2010 uranium deal that has many conservatives in the media so worked up was a deal that was approved by a committee of nine U.S. government agency heads. So this was a Canadian company, but a company that had uranium mining interests in the American West. And they wanted to sell a majority stake of the company to Russia's Atomic Energy Agency. And because uranium is the root material to manufacture a nuclear weapon, it is a national security concern. And that's why there was this U.S. government panel that had to sign off on the deal, which it did unanimously. They determined that this was not a national security threat. Now, fast forward to the election year, and in 2015, the New York Times, along with basing some of its reporting off of that book, Clinton Cash, reported extensively on donations to the Clinton Foundation that happened during this same period of time. So there were folks on the Russian side who clearly were trying to curry favor with the Clintons, whether it was specific to this one deal or perhaps just something bigger. They were donating money to the campaign, to the foundation, I should say, clearly to try to get on Clinton's good side. And so the connection that the Sean Hannitys, the Breitbarts of the world are making is that Russia essentially bought Hillary Clinton's vote. As the Secretary of State at the time, she had one of the nine votes to approve this uranium purchase, and she did vote in favor. And so the notion is that her vote was bought essentially as a bribe through these donations to her foundation.
Let me pick up on several things, and thank you for that very concise description, because it's easy to get lost in some of the details here, because I have heard people say, largely coming from conservative media, that Russia now controls 20% of America's uranium, either deposits or capacity. Can you explain that?
Right. Yeah, there is a subtle distinction there, but it is an important one because the United States does import a sizable chunk of its uranium. So the 20% figure that we hear so often refers to the uranium mining capacity within the United States, but it is not 20% of all of the uranium that the United States has. So it's just important to make that distinction, because if you just say that it's a fifth of all U.S. uranium, it sounds like a much larger share than it actually is.
But in many ways, it sounds like a trifecta or even more. So you've got Bill Clinton. He apparently made a speech to a Russian bank or a bank in Moscow, getting, I think, $500,000 for that speech. You've got Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State. You've got the Russians, a Russian energy agency buying a majority stake of a Canadian company that controls some of the uranium mining in the United States. One can understand, at least on the face of it, why that might raise some questions.
Absolutely. And by the way, the questions about the appearance of a conflict of interest at the Clinton Foundation are entirely legitimate, which is why that was an issue throughout the entire campaign. It's why our newspaper spent a lot of time trying to put together an extensive list of every single donor that had given money to the Clintons through their foundation and to their campaigns over a 40-year period, some $3 billion altogether. That is worth looking at. And there's no question that when you have foreign entities giving money to your foundation, they're quite clearly trying to, as I said, curry favor with you. What that does not prove, though, however, is that that money actually bought your decisions on another matter. And so, the magnitude is different, but sort of an analog right now would be the many foreign dignitaries that like to come to Washington and stay at Trump hotels. That's clearly some kind of gesture to try and, make a good impression, curry some favor with the president. But I don't hear folks in the conservative press suggesting that the current president's foreign policy decisions are being bought and paid for, through bribery, through his hotel chain or something like that.
I mean, so, it is hard. It is hard to prove, oftentimes, quid pro quo.
It's inherently difficult to prove a quid pro quo, but I think the reason to be skeptical of it in this case is again the fact that Hillary Clinton's State Department had only one of the nine votes to approve this uranium deal. So it just doesn't make logical sense that if you were trying to ensure passage of this deal, you couldn't buy approval simply by donating money to Hillary Clinton. She didn't have the power on her own to approve the deal. And since all of the other agency heads voted the same way that she did, if you believe that there is a great conspiracy here, you essentially have to believe that everyone else was on the take as well, which is a much broader conspiracy than anyone has any evidence for.
And that's Colin Borchers. He writes for The Washington Post, and we are talking about some of the stories that are having some play and some impact on conservative media. And you can join us at 1-888-477-9499. You can send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org. You can also tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Let me get Earl from, looks like, Atlantic City to join us on Radio Times. Hi, Earl. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi there. I feel that the whole Uranium One Eurasia purchase is kind of a red herring. To me, we understand that from all the reporting that I've been reading, that they wouldn't have been able to sell uranium to Russia anyway. That would have never been allowed. So I don't understand why they wanted to buy the company in the first place. So like I said, it's kind of a red herring. But the fact that Russian-connected businessmen and oligarchs contributed so much money to the Clinton Foundation is troubling. I feel that, again, you're talking about a quid pro quo. We don't know what the payoff is or what it might have been, but it's sure, there's smoke. I don't know where the fire is, but there's definitely a lot of smoke there.
Well, and there are a lot of, it seems, Russian oligarchs who have been interested in the United States and the outcome of elections. Colm, do you want to weigh in on that?
Well, I would say to Earl that the uranium deal is getting additional scrutiny right now for, I think, a good reason, which is that a couple of weeks ago, The Hill published a report that at the time that the Uranium One deal was approved by the Obama administration, the FBI was in the midst of an investigation of corrupt business practices by Russia in the United States with the purpose of sort of infiltrating the nuclear industry within the U.S., and that was why they wanted to buy this Canadian company that had uranium mining interests in the United States. And that investigation concluded several years later. It ultimately led to the indictment and ultimately a conviction of one former Russian official. So the concern is, why didn't the folks who had the decision-making power over that Uranium One deal in 2010 know about the FBI's investigation that was going on at the time? Would that potentially have been useful information that might have changed the way they looked at the deal? Might they have looked at it and said, you know what, maybe signing off on this deal wasn't such a good idea? I think those are fair questions to ask, and I think that that is what the purpose of a joint investigation by two congressional subcommittees launched last week is trying to look at. You've heard Republican members of Congress say that they're looking at why there wasn't better information sharing within the U.S. government at the time. But again, what that means is that it is very unlikely that Hillary Clinton, as the head of the State Department, or anybody else who was on that nine-member committee knew what the FBI was up to. Because, again, the investigation was still ongoing. It wouldn't conclude until several years later. And so what you're seeing right now in some of the coverage on Fox News and on Breitbart and other outlets of that ilk is the suggestion that Hillary Clinton effectively ignored what the FBI was doing, as if she knew that this was a really sketchy situation, and she was willing to shove that aside and ignore it and just sort of sell out national security for donations to her foundation. But the evidence just doesn't back that up.
Let me read an email from Mike. He's raising something that I wanted to just touch on, and then I do want to talk about Fusion GPS. Mike says, please confirm that by law, the uranium mined in this country may not be taken out of the country. You want to weigh in on that, Colin?
That's true. But again, I think that the concern that folks have is that you are allowing Russia to have some control over that supply chain. And keep in mind that the alleged crimes that the FBI was investigating at the time that ultimately did lead to one conviction involved no-bid contracts to a trucking company within the United States that transported some of that uranium with kickbacks going to Russian oligarchs. So I think the concern wasn't so much about taking uranium out of the United States and shipping it off to Russia to make a nuclear weapon. It's not really so much about that. It's more about Russia exerting some influence and control over uranium within the U.S.
Well, let's talk about Fusion GPS, and there are many twists and turns to this particular story. First of all, what is Fusion GPS?
Fusion GPS is essentially an opposition research firm that was founded several years ago by three former Wall Street Journal reporters. And so there are very conflicting views of the organization in the press. You've heard folks like Brett Stevens, who is a conservative columnist for the New York Times. It was on the air on MSNBC last week saying that, you know, this is a legitimate, credible outfit. Obviously, they do opposition research. What they do is dig up dirt, but that it is run by three former professional journalists. I should point out that Stevens is also a journal alum, so perhaps he has some special affinity for them. But so there's that view on one end, and then the other view is sort of the White House view, which is that this is a sort of sketchy organization that specializes in hatchet jobs, and you can't trust anything that comes from them. And they are significant, of course, because they are the outfit that worked with the Clinton campaign and the Democrats during the general election. They're the ones who ultimately hired Christopher Steele, the former British intelligence officer, who produced that now infamous dossier of allegations about ties between Donald Trump and Russia.
And before that, obviously working to investigate Trump for and some of the other Republican candidates, as it turns out, for the Washington Free Beacon. Is that unusual?
Well, that was kind of a twist, wasn't it?
I think so.
We had known for a while that Fusion GPS had a Republican client during the GOP primary season, and I think the conventional wisdom was that it was one of Donald Trump's opponents, that it was another politician. And as it turned out, that was not the case. It was, in fact, the Washington Free Beacon, which is a conservative website. And I would say, yes, it is unusual, unless you take the view that the Free Beacon is a relatively new outlet. It was founded in 2012. And, you know, you might say this is a case where they were wanting to do some investigative reporting. And what they essentially did was bring in some outside consultants, you know, and the consultants in this case were three former, big league journalists from the Wall Street Journal, and that sort of bringing them in to help with some investigative reporting wouldn't be all that unusual. Mm. And I think the Free Beacon could have made that case, but they didn't. And that's sort of what's interesting about it. It was sort of this cover up, right? They didn't just come out and say that. In fact, they in some of their coverage were pretty misleading about their relationship with Fusion GPS. A story 2 days before they disclosed that they in fact were the mystery client behind Fusion GPS. They had published a story that said that Fusion GPS had an unknown Republican client during the primary. Well, it wasn't unknown. It certainly wasn't unknown to you. That sort of the cover up in some cases was even more suspicious than the hiring in the first place.
And Colin, we have just a couple of minutes before we have to sew this up. Talking about Christopher Steele and the dossier, it seems that, at least coming from the conservative media, if we can put it that way, is that is an example of collusion because Christopher Steele talked to Russians to get information about Donald Trump. Do I have that right?
Yeah, that is the argument. And the argument is that, he's a foreigner, right? He's a former British spy. So, if we're so concerned about campaigns taking opposition research from people outside of the United States, we should be really fired up about the DNC and the Clinton campaign working, if indirectly, with a former British spy. Perhaps there is some truth to that, but there is sort of a difference in scale here, right? I mean, there's a difference between taking opposition research from a singular British spy as opposed to what, say, Donald Trump Jr. Acknowledged in emails, which was that he wanted to take opposition research that he believed was coming directly from the Russian government, which is, a hostile foreign power. I mean, so there is a difference there.
We're, again, almost out of time here. It was interesting that President Trump tweeted that Christopher Steele's company got something like $12 million. Mark Hosenball has found that he was paid $186,000. Does that matter? Is that a big deal?
Well, it matters to the extent that what the president is trying to do is to present this as like a colossal waste of money. And by the way, I can't independently verify one number or the other. But the purpose here of the president's strategy is to say there was a huge concerted effort, a politically motivated effort to take me down. This was money that was wasted because, hey, I won. And you should not, as the public, you voters should not believe anything that came out of this dossier because it was really just a well-funded hatchet job.
We could go on. Colin Borchers, thank you so much for joining us today in Radio Times.
Glad to be with you.
And he writes for The Washington Post. Stay with us. We'll be right back.